From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message called A Warning Against the Sin of Presumption, part of a series of studies in the book of Joshua. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First of all, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning. This morning's text is found in Leviticus chapter 19, verses 16 and 17. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. Talebearing emits a threefold poison. For it injures the teller, the hearer, and the person concerning whom the tale is told. Whether the report be true or false, we are by this precept of God's word forbidden to spread it. The reputations of the Lord's people should be very precious in our sight, and we should count it shame to help the devil to dishonor the church and the name of the Lord. Some tongues need a bridle rather than a spur. Many glory in pulling down their brethren, as if thereby they raise themselves. Noah's wise sons cast a mantle over their father, and he who exposed him earned a fearful curse. We may ourselves one of these dark days need forbearance and silence from our brethren. Let us render it cheerfully to those who require it now. Be this our family rule and our personal bond. Speak evil of no man. The Holy Spirit, however, permits us to censure sin, and prescribes the way in which we are to do it. It must be done by rebuking our brother to his face, not by railing behind his back. This course is manly, brotherly, Christ-like, and under God's blessing will be useful. Does the flesh shrink from it? Then we must lay the greater stress upon our conscience and keep ourselves to the work, lest by suffering sin upon our friend we become ourselves partakers of it. Hundreds have been saved from gross sins by the timely, wise, affectionate warnings of faithful ministers and brethren. Our Lord Jesus has set us a gracious example of how to deal with erring friends in his warning given to Peter, the prayer with which he preceded it, and the gentle way in which he bore with Peter's boastful denial that he needed such a caution.
To follow and to receive.
Soon it will be the time of year when the thoughts of God's people turn with special emphasis to the miracle of the Incarnation, the incomprehensible truth of Emmanuel, God with us. The Apostle John wrote, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Joseph was told, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." To assist you in meditating upon the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world, we're happy to offer a unique publication called The 12 Days of Christmas, written by Roger Ellsworth, an experienced minister and writer. The 12 Days of Christmas is a small paperback book containing 24 devotions, each including a short scripture reading, several paragraphs, and a concluding To Think About section that draws lines of application from the text to modern-day life. The book is intended to help the hearts and minds of believers to focus on the wonder of the Incarnation, as well as to encourage unbelievers to come in repentance and faith to Christ. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make this inspirational booklet available free of charge to our listening audience. You may have a copy simply by contacting us by phone, email, or regular mail. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We encourage you to request your free copy of The 12 Days of Christmas while supplies last.
Forgetting that it was the Lord who had given the victory over Jericho, Joshua and his army presumed that they could make short work of Ai without bothering to seek God's guidance and help. The sin of pride is the root of presumption. As Dr. Cairns has already demonstrated, presumption is characterized by prayerlessness. One cannot do God's work without constant prayer. Failure to pray then leads to carelessness about how God would have his work accomplished, whether it be on the battlefield or in the present attitude regarding how the church is to be built. Israel's carelessness resulted in ignorance of their loss of the Lord's presence. It made them ignorant of the strength of the enemy, resulting in needless deaths. As Dr. Cairns will emphasize, prayerlessness and carelessness always result in defeat, as Israel discovered to their shame. Now to continue this message, a warning against the sin of presumption, here is Dr. Cairns.
The flesh profiteth nothing in the work of God. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. I was reading biography, or part of a biography, of one of America's great revival preachers. As I read the description of the revivals, I was struck by this fact. Here there were no attempts at man-made converts. Here there was just an awful sense of the majesty and the glory and the holiness and the power and the presence of God. Here sinners came under a terrible conviction of their own sin, and they cried out for mercy on the merits of the blood of Jesus Christ. And as I read that, my heart lifted to God, Lord, send us that kind of revival. That is revival. That is revival. Away with the man-made lookalikes. The flesh profits nothing. Carnal and careless ignorance of the lessons of the past leads to this presumptuous carelessness that we can go on trying to emulate the work of the Holy Ghost, or should I say simulate the work of the Holy Ghost by the activities of the flesh. Their presumption led them to a careless ignorance of their loss of the Lord's presence. To me, that's the saddest thing in this chapter. Achan's sin is terrible. But to me, the saddest thing, the most poignant thing, is a great man like Joshua sending his people out to battle, and he didn't even know that the Lord was not among them. The more I thought of that, the more sad and tragic that appeared to me. They were not aware that the Lord was not among them. Exactly parallel with the case of Samson. See him there lying in the lap of Delilah. The Philistines be upon me. He said, I'll arise, I'll shake myself, I'll go out as at other times. There's the presumption. And one of the most heart-rending sentences of Scripture, he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. There's no sadder sight than a preacher with a great past going through the motions but without any reality of God's presence. I make it my constant prayer that God will spare me that. And I mean it very, very literally. I have prayed throughout my ministry that God would take me home rather than never let me live to be an empty vessel in a Christian church. How many churches are going on and on and on, going through the motions, and they wist not that the Lord is departed from them. Prayerlessness leads to carelessness, where you don't even know that God is gone. You come to church as usual, you go through all that we do at church. You can even go home sometimes feeling good, but without ever really meeting with God. This prayerlessness and carelessness made them ignorant of the strength of the enemy. They said, "They're but few. How wrong could you be? There were 12,000 men to defend Ai." That we know from the 7th chapter. There were 12,000 armed men, strong warriors, but these confident, presumptuous, proud men of Israel who hadn't even bothered to pray and ask God about it, they said, "Oh, there's just a few of them." Let me tell you, it's always true in military strategy, you never should underestimate your enemy. Never. It's true in every area of life. You read the biographies of any good politicians. Maybe I should not use the word good with politician. That's probably an oxymoron. But should I say capable politicians? You will discover they always keep in mind the strength of their enemies. Otherwise they'll be outflanked by them. It's true in church life. I think for far too long, until we have reached the awful stage we're in today, I think in our fundamentalist churches we talked about the ecumenical apostasy. We did some warning against the new evangelical apostasy. But really, I don't think that they were ever taken seriously enough. The enemy today is in control. It's true on a personal level. You've often heard it said that the first and most difficult step in dealing with an alcoholic is to get him to admit that he is an alcoholic. Normally he has 1,001 reasons for taking that drink. One of the great pitfalls is that I can stop, and he will stop. And sometimes you stop for a few weeks, sometimes even for longer. You see, I have the power to do it. Of course he doesn't. Similarly with a Christian. Any Christian who is over hopeful in his own strength and thinks that he's got the lusts of the flesh under control is in danger of a terrible fall. The psalmist said in Psalm 38:19, "Mine enemies are lively and they are strong." That's true of the lusts of the flesh. And it doesn't matter how long you've been going on the road of Christian discipleship. It doesn't matter to what levels of holiness you've risen. It doesn't matter to what levels of usefulness you've risen. How much of the power of God you've known. Men and women, you've got to understand that the old man is an inveterate enemy against God and against you and against holiness. And you're up-to-date experience of Jesus Christ, your constant fellowship with Him, your enjoyment of the victory of the blood is a necessity if you're going to overcome those enemies and live in holiness. We should not be ignorant of Satan's devices. We should be vigilant. Because our adversary, the devil, does go about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. What careless ignorance of the strength of the enemy. And of course, there was the careless failure to root out sin. They went up to battle with the curse right among them. Again, cross-reference to Samson. He went out to meet the Philistines from lying in the lap of Delilah. How many Christians nowadays are doing the very same thing? There are Christians who are better acquainted with the latest storyline in the soap operas of television than they are with the Word of God. There are Christians who are up to their eyes in all the latest productions of Hollywood, but they aren't up to their ankles in the sanctifying waters of the Word of God. Then they wonder what's wrong with their life, what's wrong with their home, what's wrong with their marriage, what's wrong with their children, what's wrong with their witness. Till we're willing to identify, expose, and root out sin. We'll certainly come a cropper, as did the Israelites. Presumptions rooted in pride. It's revealed by prayerlessness and carelessness. And it results in defeat. Children of Israel went out to battle and they lost. For the first time since they had left the land of Egypt, they lost in the field of battle. 36 men lay smitten by the enemy. The Israelites were immediately robbed of the joy of every former victory. And even Joshua went to God and said, I would that we had stayed on the other side of Jordan. Jericho even, that great victory, no longer brought any joy. What a defeat. I wonder this morning, am I talking to Christians who are living an abject defeat? Oh, you can remember God's blessing. But there's no joy in that. There's no thrill anymore in the victory of grace. You're living an abject defeat. You see, proud presumption always proves empty. And it always proves costly. The words of Solomon are still true. Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. When sinners presume upon God, they endanger their soul. Luke chapter 12, the rich fool presumed. God said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. If you're in this meeting this morning, you're not saved. God has given you, say, 20 years of life, 30, 40, 50 years of life, and you presume you'll have tomorrow and the next day and next year, and you've plenty of time to get right with God. Let me tell you, you're presuming to the destruction of your own soul. When saints presume upon God, they suffer spiritual humiliation. Because presumption always results in defeat. Many lose their testimony. Many lose their place of service. Many lose the opportunity to be useful to Christ. Many lose their family. Many lose their homes. Let me tell you, when saints do what the Israelites did, they bring themselves to terrible defeat.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.